Pints and Pies Podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Hal, and there's Danielle, and this guy, Mike Eagle, is there as well. Tights and Bites Podcast. Tights and Bites.
It's episode 193, maybe 194, we're not sure. That's what's happening. Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. And here's to the greatest love you've ever known, Hal Lublin. And I'm joined today by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation. Get up. Come on. Get down with the sickness. I'm not going to do it. I can't.
No, you have to.
All right. Get up. Come
Give
on.
Me
get
a
down
wah.
With the sickness. Wah. Danielle Radford. Hello.
There we go. Well, that's what I needed.
And hey, all you cool Kelks and kittens out there. It's Lindsay Kelk.
I will not stand for this anti-Carol Baskin propaganda. You know that, but thank you. Appreciate it.
She probably did it. And our special guest, he is one of AEW's newest signees and one of the biggest names across the wrestling and podcast worlds. It's Colt Boom Boom through Zoom Zoom Cabana.
Oh, you've been sitting on that one, huh?
Julian's so proud. We can't see him. He's taking his video off, so we can't see his. Leah, keep it on. This is for Colt's patrons as well. I want to see that face shaking when you let. See, there it is. There we go.
Can I say that as someone who started independent wrestling in 1999, that song was basically one out of every four wrestlers' entrance music. The Get Down with the Sickness.
Was it really?
Yes.
Yes.
It's a high percentage.
Did every person who had that music think like, oh, this, no, I got it. This is going to be it.
They felt it. Puddle of Mud, is that Puddle of Mud?
Is it? Maybe.
I don't know. That was a big one. I'm just going through the names of people that were big entrance music havers. And I think they were like number one. And Soul Distortion?
Oh, man.
So is that a thing?
Also, that was Disturbed, was
Disturbed?
Who wrote that.
That's another one? There you go.
Literally anyone that my roommates listened to in the last year of college, they were just... Who knew that they were so ahead of the wrestling curve, man?
That's right.
Anyway, welcome back, Colt.
Thank you. Hello, hello, hello. Danielle, yes, I know who you are, and I remember you.
So, I'm glad that we cover that every time that we're in the same area together. You have to soothe me by letting me know that you do know who I am.
I'm well
very
aware.
Sweet of you.
First of all, how are you doing right now? How's it been for you the last
me?
Few weeks? Yeah.
Well... So my wrestling schedule is pretty crazy before this. I was on the road like 200 days a year. But when I came home, I mean, I just sat on the couch and tried to do absolutely nothing. And then I would only go out because society was like, Colt, you should probably go out and socialize. And I'm like, oh, okay. So this is very okay with me. And this is what I've been training to do, you know, and as someone who's been on the road for 200 days a year and is almost in his 40s now, my body hurts a lot from wrestling. So this, what a wonderful, just nice relaxation from throwing my body around the ring and hurting myself. So this is almost the vacation I never wanted, but never knew I needed.
So you're thriving, first of all.
Thank
That's
you.
Great. You're living your best life.
That's the Colt Cabana positivity that that only me and DDP can bring to the wrestling world.
That's right. And I like your smile better. I'm just going to say it.
Thank
He's
you.
Not here. Forget him. Forget you, DDP.
Did you see he was on CNN the other day with Anderson Cooper? He goes, oh, I'm 64 years old. And I was blown away. I thought he was like 75.
It doesn't matter how much yoga you've done. Like, it's still a hard life. Do you know what I mean? There's only so much yoga can do. It is just stretching. Let's be real. Come on.
He's making his calendars do yoga, too, so that they get younger. Anyway, happy 190th birthday, DDP. How has AEW been so, outside of all this, how has AEW been so far? Can you walk us through sort of your process of getting involved there and what led to your decision?
It's funny because I was never under a contract with Ring of Honor, but I had a handshake deal with them. And it got to the point where they had me on commentary and I was just like, you know, I have good wrestling years left. And then you see Chris Jericho wrestling at 50 years old and he's great. And it's just like, what am I doing being a commentator? And there was a lot of things that I was just unhappy with at Ring of Honor. So I just made the decision that I told kind of management that I was, you know, I'm leaving. I just, you know, and they were like, okay. And they tried to get me back and they tried to sign me to a contract. And then I kind of put out to New Japan and AEW saying like, hey, you know, like, here's the deal. I'm officially leaving, so I'm going to be doing these New Japan tours as much as I can. But I kind of said to my friends, the Young Bucks, like, you know, I've always wanted to be with you guys. And there were some political reasons why I kind of wasn't there in the very beginning. And those kind of spread away. And so there was an opening. And they were like, this is perfect timing. And crazier perfect timing. I signed a contract. And then every independent wrestling show ever that went away. And for the first time in my career, I have a little security and I almost chose the correct time. And in saying that, AEW, basically it was built upon all my friends kind of wanting a promotion the way they wanted it. And so there's so much positivity and love and just fun behind it. And that's kind of the message with AEW and in the locker room and between the wrestlers, as opposed to a lot of other places that we've wrestled. Probably specifically one place that we've wrestled. you know, so it's kind of cool that that's kind of the basis around AEW. And so, of course, that's something I definitely wanted to be a part of and now am a part of.
If you had the ability to do independent bookings right now, is there a balance that you have to strike? When you have a contract with AEW, does that mean you cannot take dates or you can take dates? Is there...
No, I could take all the dates that I want.
Wow.
And so, yeah, this is kind of crazy because I had a crazy schedule before of wrestling Friday, Saturday, Sunday, essentially. And now I'm flying out Tuesday, wrestling Wednesday, flying home Thursday. And now I have to ask myself, do I want to take that schedule? And the hustler in me is like, of course you do. But it's probably not the smartest decision. And as I was taking all the bookings, I was trying to only take the real good ones, but there's so many good independent shows. And so I wanted to take all of them. So maybe this is the big break I needed. And then once we kind of get back to it, I can go back to 6 days a week on the road.
Yeah. How hard is it to turn that off? Because you've been doing this for 21 years and it's,
yeah,
you get in so, that mode of work, right?
Right. When I got fired from WWE in 2009, I was very unsure of my career. And then I started doing the podcast in 2010 and my everything started to pick up and I was like, you got to take advantage of it. Eventually this run will end of this podcast being popular and my own popularity. So take advantage and just get as many bookings as you can and make as much money as you can while it lasts. We all know that these runs don't really go that long. And if you look back at the history of wrestling, some of like your favorite wrestlers, like, you know, I don't know, like DDP, for example, you know, he probably got hot in 96 and then, you know, WCW closed in 2000. So he really only had like a 4-year run. And that's a long one. So I know this has become the DDP appreciation podcast.
We will not have a word said against him. Obviously.
Yeah, we don't mind it.
Yeah, the okay. Man is 230 years old. Please.
Yes. Show some respect. Everyone involved.
Sorry. So I've always been the mindset of like, listen, this will all end at some time. Do as much as you can. And so that's still my mindset. But we're, you know, at 2010, we're 10 years later. And it hasn't slowed down, and I don't plan on slowing down, so it's kind of a weird thing for me. But my plan is just take as much as you can and kind of, you know, like this all goes towards my retirement when I'm not able to wrestle at 65. But maybe I'm wrestling at 65. We saw that Mike Jackson clip on Impact, right?
You've done so much. Like, you do so much. There's the wrestling, the commentating, the podcast. You have your show at The Fringe every year, which obviously has been canceled this year, which is really sad. We'd love to hear about what your plans were for that, if you have plans. But like, is there anything you haven't done yet? I feel like while everyone's trapped at home like this, a lot of people are having a lot of creative ideas. Some of them are terrible, some of them are really good. Has anything come to you recently that you're like, I have to do this now, this is the next thing?
Well, not now, but you know, and this is where my world and Maximum Fun kind of comes together, is the idea of kind of the comedy world and wrestling. So I, you know, I do comedy in wrestling. I would like to do wrestling in comedy. I've had friends who are pretty high up. You know, I have a buddy, I don't want to say anything, but I had a buddy who had like an HBO special and we were working on stuff and we were trying to pitch this show. And we had a couple, you know, good pitches and a couple, you know, feet in the door to have like a real, like kind of like a sitcom and some other stuff. And so that's kind of something I would love to mix the worlds of. I can tell you one idea if you guys want to hear something.
Definitely.
That I pitched that, yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of made a pilot for it, but I didn't like it, so I wanted to do it again, where the show was called I Hate You, Colt Cabana, and I would take a stand-up comic to like a wrestling show in Memphis or Arkansas where nobody knows, you know, who they are, and then I would have them be my opponent's manager, and they would come out, and essentially they would do stand-up comedy in the like a five-minute promo, like roasting everybody doing stand-up, but under the guise of being a wrestling manager. And then the whole match, they're doing like bits. And then at the end, I win. And then they always like end it with, I hate you, Colt Cabana. So essentially you're doing a set as a wrestling manager to non-comedy fans.
I love
and
it.
I think it would be great. And I just needed I need the right platform or whatever. I don't know. That's my one. So I have many ideas like that, but it's not like I could do anything with that right now. We're all sitting in a house.
Yeah. All these wrestling shows are getting made now, right? So the Heels is getting made, and now I saw this week The Rock has a green light on a show, a wrestling show.
The Heels? The Rockers?
Heels is a show that is happening on, is it on Stars, I want to say? Stephen Amell?
Yeah, it's on Stars. It's on Stars.
And now this week they announced, is HBO are making a Rock Issa Rae produced comedy also. So now apparently is the time for the wrestling show.
Oh, well, if you know anybody.
I don't, but I mean, I live in LA. I'll just go outside and presumably we'll be able to get you signed. That's how it works, right? That's what everyone told me when I moved here.
I know Jesse Thorne has some nice camera equipment now, so.
There we go. We'll do it. We'll shoot it. It'll be great.
There you go.
We're definitely all equipped and talented enough to do that.
It's going to become Bowfinger, where we're just being trained for some reason to work a bunch of film equipment. No problem. I can do it. Obviously, both AEW and WWE have moved forward with shows in like the most creative way they possibly can, and that involves not having an audience. You've worked under these conditions. What is it like wrestling a televised show with intentionally no audience? Is that any different than starting out?
You have to understand, I have wrestled everywhere on the independents, including less people than are in this empty arena. So this is absolutely nothing new for me. It's very comforting, actually.
Really?
I don't have to worry, like my Jewish insecurity doesn't have to worry about the crowd hating me.
Yeah.
You know, so I get to just go out and do my match and don't have to worry like if they're going to boo a spot because it's too comedy centric, you know.
Is that something that everybody seems to share of like the we've all because I assume most people have done a show like, you know, if you've done comedy, you've done a show where the people on stage outnumber the people in the audience. So I can't imagine doing that intentionally because they're kind of similar in that you do feed off the audience to a certain extent, but
yeah,
presenting on television still works.
Because it's so there's like no one there and it's such a ghost crew, it's really hard to think about that it's actually going out to like a million people.
Mm-hmm.
So I that's kind of was my sentiment. I was so relaxed and I did commentary one of the days and there just felt like no pressure, which was so nice. But I do think some of the younger wrestlers are wrestling like they're pretending like there's 1,000 people in the crowd. And I do think it kind of comes off a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I remember I wrestled Brandon Cutler on Dark and there was a gif that kind of was starting to go around a little bit where I was pretending to get the fans clapping. And then I realized that there were no fans. And then I had like the sad face, which is, of course, me observing my surroundings and kind of making fun of the wrestling tropes, which I've been doing for a long time now. But I think a lot of the younger wrestlers maybe aren't as comfortable with the idea of just kind of understanding where you are and wrestling in the moment as opposed to being like, I'm a TV wrestler, look at the hard cam, you know, make a big face and all the kind of unwritten rules of TV wrestling.
Now, it must be a really hard time to be like a super strong heel or a super strong baby face, right? Because they're the people that play the most to the crowd. They're the people that their entire character and their persona exists because of a reaction.
Right. And I am assuming you're just saying I being the superest, strongest baby face.
Yes.
Just...
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, the work you're doing is astounding given the lack of interaction that you're getting. The self-confidence that we're seeing coming through the screen is just quite
and
beautiful.
We all know, they would all be on their feet just going crazy and chanting Colt. And so
Yeah.
It is how I look at it, yes.
I think it would be like the scene from Mother where they would just demand that you be given the belt instead of, you know, eating a baby. But apart from that, I imagine it would be exactly the same.
I don't know that reference, but I will talk about my own mother who has called Tony Khan and demanded I get the belt. So I kind of understand what you're talking about.
Oh, that's the most Jewish thing. I love it.
Yes.
That is the most Jewish mother thing to do.
Tony Colt has been wrestling a long time. I tell my friends that he's good and he doesn't have a belt. They always go, does he have a belt?
He's such a good boy. Don't you and look at the punim. Look at his punim. Don't you just want to squeeze it and put a belt around it?
And put him as penis? What is that?
Yeah, put him as penis. Okay. Would you please squeeze my son's penis? This is Colt's mom.
Learning with Hal Loveland. Thank you, Hal.
Hey, it's out there. This is just our culture. Please.
Learning Yiddish with Hal Loveland.
Yeah, that's right. Every word means penis. That's it. That's it. We're just saying, if you watch the show on Orthodox on Netflix, they're just saying penis over and over again for the entire film.
So what's been so nice about this isolation time is I'm learning so much about other cultures. So great.
Yeah, they all say learn a new language. No one says no one suggests Yiddish, do they?
Yeah, Duolingo is really slacking off. Like, where is it? Come on.
I have another question about the wrestling I've been watching without the crowds is that it seems to me like a crowd can mask a lot or sort of inflate something. Maybe the best example of that is Hogan Rock at WrestleMania, where if you watch it without sound, it's like, all right, this is a match I'm seeing. But then you add the crowd and it elevates everything. So I feel like I'm watching matches now where, oh, this is not as, like, this is, would be way better with a crowd. But then the really good matches, I forget, like, it doesn't matter if there's an audience there or not, because the performers bring me into what's happening. Is that something you've observed as well, or am I insane?
Yeah, you're watching wrestling wrong now.
Thank you.
You should be putting it on mute and then having a YouTube soundtrack playing behind you of crowd going wild.
Oh, that's it.
That's how I'm watching it. I don't know how you're watching it.
I'm doing it wrong. You're helping me. Yes. Oh, I feel like such a punim right now.
Ugh. the crowd is such a part of it, and especially for a wrestler like me who's very interactive. So it's very hard, and you do have to change it up a little bit until stuff kind of goes back. But we do have, you know, at AEW, they have some of the, you know, wrestlers around the ring. So when I was out there, Billy Gunn and his son are always out there just having fun. And so it's really fun to play off of them, and they'll always give you something. So, you know, to a point, we do have somebody to play off of, and kind of they're telling us whether, you know, whether we're doing it right or wrong, almost just. Specifically Billy Gunn and Austin Gunn.
Yeah.
Have there been any matches that you have caught, AEW or otherwise, in this recent time that you think has been particularly good, have been particularly effective?
Yes. Colt Cabana versus Brandon Cutler.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that one was very good. I heard one was great, and people should probably go seek it out. Where could they seek that out if they were in the mind to do so?
That's not on YouTube, AEW Dark. I picked up a 20-side dice, and I didn't know what it was.
I appreciate that he is bringing the nerd to all of these matches now.
Can you tell me, like, is that hitting with that demographic?
Oh, it certainly is. So the day that he and MJF got into it on Twitter, I literally had to text friends of mine and being like, you got to stop commenting on this because you look like a dipshit. Like, this is wrestling. You have to stop. Because so many of my friends are like, you know, because I do tabletop RPG online and I have a lot of friends who are in it and friends who are way into it. And I was like, you guys have to understand that this is a bit and you look like idiots right now. And then a bunch of them were like, you know, we're nerds. We can be hot too. And we're like posting pictures of them being hot nerds. And it was like, oh, this is so embarrassing. I'm so embarrassed for all of my friends right now.
I love that you knew that it was a total work.
Of course it was. Like, come on. And it was like him and Matt, like, it was a great thing. And then, like, as soon as Matt Mercer came in and, like, all of these people, like, I was like, oh, yeah, this is like a thing. And I was like, this is beautiful. This is wonderful. And he's making all the nerds mad. And then, yeah, I saw people that I'm, like, close to getting in. And I had to be like, hey, you got to stop because we're all going to make fun of you. I'm making fun of you.
That's the closest we have to 80s wrestling in real heat is, like, making fun of Dungeons and Dragons.
No, it was amazing. It was literally a whole day of me just cringing at my friends taking it like very like, I'm hot and I play it and I'm like, no, you got, yep, uh-huh, that's great.
But that's the goal, right? If you're putting that out there, you want every single bad response because number one, it gets more eyeballs on the conversation you're having. And number two, that's the heat you can get online, right?
Not only that, hopefully, the goal is that there's so much heat, but then here comes Brandon Cutler,
yep,
who maybe didn't have that kind of fans before. And now, because these the RPG players hate the idea of MJF so much, they need a hero. And so now their hero is Brandon Cutler, and maybe they'll watch the match, mm-hmm, hoping that Brandon Cutler beats the hell out of MJF and sticks a die up his punim.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how you gain new fans almost.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was great watching it happen in real time and just like spread over, and then also spread through not just like the D&D community, but the larger nerd community, because people were like, hey, like, I don't play this, but don't make fun of my friends. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I feel that's almost like what's happening with the Insane Clown Posse right now. A lot of people are like, I don't listen to ICP, but hey, look, you know, they're great.
And also, you're talking about them, so...
Right.
And they're responsible in the pandemic. They just canceled the gathering of the Juggalos.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. People are saying.
Yeah, people are like, oh, yeah, Violent J and Shaggy Two Dope, they're really good guys. Like, you don't realize. It's always interesting the discovery of anybody like that where you go, oh, do I like this person? Maybe I should check their stuff out. Like, that's all it takes. Or even, it doesn't take much to get you digging on somebody, whether you like them or dislike them, because you're either like, I want to check out their stuff, or let's see what this person's all about. And it's a really great way, like really smart in that way. It seems like wrestling for a while now has been ahead of the curve on that and figured out the medium pretty quickly. It feels
wrestling's never been ahead of the curve. I don't know. Never.
If you have any thoughts on what we've discussed with Colt so far, connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Discord via the links in our show notes. We'll be back to talk more with Colt Cabana. That's coming up next on Tights and Fights.
Video games.
Video games.
Video games. You like them?
Maybe you wish you had more time for them?
Maybe you want to know the best ones to play?
Maybe you want to know what happens to Mario when he dies?
In that case, you should check out Triple Click. It's a brand new podcast about video games.
A podcast about video games? But I don't have time for that.
Sure you do. Once a week, kick back as three video game experts give you everything from critical takes on the hottest new releases,
to scoops, interviews, and explanations about how video games work,
to fascinating and sometimes weird stories about the games we love.
Triple Click is hosted by me, Kirk Hamilton.
Me, Jason Schreier.
And me, Maddie Myers.
You can find Triple Click wherever you get your podcasts and listen at MaximumFun.org.
Bye.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin. I'm joined today by
Danielle Radford.
And
Lindsay Kelt.
And
Colt Zoom Zoom Cabana.
That's right. I have a question for you that's non-wrestling. I know we're going to talk about wrestling stuff as well, just, you know, for Lindsay. But
thanks.
We're all sort of catching up on television shows and movies. Is there something you've watched that's been on your list, or something that's new that you discovered that you're enjoying? Like, what are you watching right now?
Oh, I mean, the usual. I watch Tiger King. I watch Ozarks. I've seen a lot of movies. Something I have been doing is a lot of the times I would watch or I would listen to How Did This Get Made, but I would never seen the movies just because I don't know. I didn't have time. So, like, if it was one I'd seen, it would be great because I knew the things about it. So now I've been watching that movie and then listening to that podcast, which is nice. Makes it a lot better. Who'd have thought?
What's your favorite of those movies that you've watched?
Yeah. I can't even remember. I just watched some space movie. It was I think the last episode they did the purple the Valkyrie of something. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh
no!
No, I thought it was going to be right now. Yeah, I thought it was going to be Passengers, but
it was like Valhorn and the alien crew. I don't know. I mean, it was atrocious, but it was nice to know that I could listen to it knowing that Jason Mantzoukas would be in my ear afterwards to take me through it. So
There's a light at the end of the tunnel every single time.
The one with the model in. Yes, Valerian. The one with the model.
Yeah, the one with Cara Delevingne. Ooh, the Cara one with Rihanna. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And also,
how did that get made?
There you go. That's the question.
That is a great question.
Luc Besson. Luc Besson.
To tie it up, you know, Paul Scheer was front row at All In. And I remember I was going out for the Battle Royal and there was this huge moment. There's 10,000 people going crazy. And then I look over, I go, oh, hey, Paul Scheer, I'm a big fan. And he's like, oh, I'm a big fan of yours. And so that was a nice little.
I'm a nice guy.
A nice little meeting of the minds there.
That's awesome. How much wrestling are you watching right now? Do you watch, like, do you, now that you're with AEW, you're still sort of keeping an eye on what's going on sort of elsewhere?
Well, secretly, I don't tell anybody, but
never.
I've had a gripe with WWE for a while.
What?
I don't really like them. It's hard for me to watch.
Huh.
And now, like, even now knowing about the Saudi Arabia stuff and knowing about that, they just cut all my friends. It's even harder for me to watch. I do watch WrestleMania and I watch Royal Rumble, and those are the two I watch. And then occasionally I like to watch Kevin Owens stuff because he's a good friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
But it was weird watching Mania by myself, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because usually it's just a big to-do. Or, you know, usually we're at WrestleCon and it's just like, it's this awesome weekend. And like, you know, like Thursday through Sunday morning has like summed up and I've made all this money and all my friends are there. And we're just like, it's the ultimate like relaxation of just sitting down with some friends and finally like relaxing from the weekend and watching Mania and making fun of all of it with my wrestling friends. because it is like, it's a total roast fest and it's mm-hmm. just so fun. And then like everyone's like, even when like there's something great, we're all like, we can find something to make fun of this, right? and so it was a little hard to watch just by myself, but I felt like I probably should. It's WrestleMania.
And what did you think of it? Did you think it was too much for just one night, or do you think they probably could have put it in one night?
I didn't think, so that was my first problem.
That's good.
No, that was the first thing you did right, I think, is what we know about that.
I took my rules of the UCB practice, just don't think.
Yep.
Is that it?
Ooh, yeah. How are you feeling about the UCB closure?
Oh, my heart of never taking one class there and giving thousands of dollars to somebody is totally broken. no, but as someone who was so inspired in 2008, I think, when somebody told me about Comedy Bang Bang, or maybe 2009, the podcast, and then mm-hmm. listening to Doug Loves Movies was very early for me, and hearing it from the UCB theater, then hearing all these people on Comedy Death Ray, I guess. And then when I'd go out and wrestle in LA in 2010 or 2011, I would always go to the UCB after my shows because they had like midnight shows and stuff. And so I guess from an outsider, I guess it's a little sad, but just like wrestling, there's going to be something new that will pop up and something great. And this is where I sound like the comedy fan as a wrestling fan would sound to me. Hmm. It seemed like everyone kind of knew of UCB. So it's dark, edgy underground cult days were maybe gone. And so now there's a cult, there's a cool underground thing that nobody knows. I know there's like a thing in Chicago called like the Shit Show or something, you know, and there's a lot of cool stuff, but once you're talking about it in present tense, I think that edge maybe loses a little bit of its luster. So, you know, something cool will come up and we'll, you know, that'll make a lot of money and then close. And then we'll do a documentary about them in 30 years.
Yeah. I mean, you have, you have Second City, like out here in LA, you had Groundlings and Second City came along, then IO, then UCB, and it's all communities and they're all cross pollinated. And the original UCB came out of the IO and Second City in Chicago. So people will figure out and create something new, but it's rightly so, you mourn for the people who don't have a place to go that was their cheers, for lack of a better word.
Yeah. Unfortunately, no one's found a way to kill improv yet. We're working on it, but no one's figured out how to murder it yet.
Yeah.
So
they may never die.
I started doing an improv show in Chicago, and we were going to do a monthly show. And just as this all hit, which is something that has made me really sad, And it was my friend Sarah Shockey, who does, who's a really great improviser out of Chicago. And it was called Sarah Shockey Teaches Colt Cabana to Do Improv. And because I've taken some improv classes and I've done improv before, but I get really like, there's so much anxiety. And so now the rules were like, I was able to stop and ask questions at any time during the show.
Oh,
because I didn't understand improv and I didn't understand. And like, I was, and like, sometimes like my brain has been hit too many times with a chair to understand where the scenes are going. And and so my inner monologue was allowed to pop out. And because of that, it made for such a really weird, fun show. And I was looking forward to kind of like building that as a monthly show. And then this all went down. So, so improv is not dead. I'm personally bringing it back.
Thank goodness.
What a gift.
Thank you for your work.
Thank
what a gift.
Speaking of which, like, we don't know how long this will last. Obviously, even if people started going back to work in June, the large gatherings probably aren't happening until next spring, next summer.
Well, the Insane Clown Posse closed those large gatherings.
That's right. The ICP shut it down. Thank you to Violent J, Shaggy Two Dope. You're all right, but on thin ice with me. Are there a lot of discussions of what the long-term plans are in AEW, or you personally, do you have like a look at, all right, well, if you have say a year to really do, you know, whatever else you want outside of wrestling that you can produce digitally, at least, do you think about that, or is it just, hey, we're still continuing to go and tape and, you know.
Yeah, it's step by step right now because, right, you know, everything's changing. I don't know. You know, I know just as much as you do. I'm, mm-hmm, you know, I'm doing a lot of weird like Instagram live stuff, and I've been doing Would You Rathers on my YouTube and stuff. And just recently I've started to think about doing kind of some podcasts from home, which I never wanted to do. And I think, you know, Max Fun is almost based on that, is going into that little box and, you know, making sure you're in person. Mm-hmm. So, but now I guess almost we have to. So it's kind of about getting the best audio quality. So I don't, you know, I'm not too hunkered down on that. I'm not like saying to my brain, like, think of stuff, be creative. I'm just kind of letting it come to me as it comes and then putting it out in the world. And I will continue to do that.
I have a question that comes from our Facebook group, actually, our Delightful Tights and Fights Facebook community. A lot of them have been talking about Dark Side of the Ring now that season 2 is back, and had been asking if we had all been watching that, and I have been watching that, and I am curious as to know if you have been watching that.
Well, see, Hal asked if I've been watching wrestling, but and not as much, but this stuff, this is my favorite. I love documentary. I love the history. I love the past. So you guys can feel free to chat around it, but I've been watching it and I love it. I think it's great.
Yeah. It's been interesting for me to watch it as someone who has like not an intensive knowledge, but as probably more than a passing knowledge than most people of watching wrestling. And then watching it with my husband, who is a really new wrestling fan, who is literally eyes glued to every moment. It was like, how did this shit happen? And I'm like, no, I know. And it's been wild to watch it with someone who didn't know any of the backstory or any of it.
Can we go around and ask like what's the wildest thing that everyone's taken away if they've watched it, like that they didn't know?
I'm trying to think what.
Yeah, well, I think the Snuka stuff was at least the one, like, I knew a bunch of that, and then that was the one I think that I had the most people who do not know wrestling were sending me, like, were asking me questions about it. Yeah, mostly the money part. So yeah, I would say that's probably like the most, I don't know, you know, not necessarily shocking, but like stuff that I didn't necessarily know. And then the thing that really connected with non-wrestling fans who, because everyone, like, I feel like that's, I mean, I met Colt, I definitely imagine, but for me, I wind up being the person where people are like, what is a Firefly Funhouse and what is this thing I just watched? that I start getting like texts and like frantic emails of people trying to understand what they're watching. And so that was the one that I think really connected people with, like, how much money? What happened? So I'd say probably that.
Was that when they paid off Jimmy Snuka? Is that what you mean? The payoff?
The payoff, yeah.
Yeah. You know, for what I love about these is how it's the people talking in the documentaries, some of them are protective and they don't want to say too much. Like maybe Don Morocco was just like, yeah, I don't know. But there's some people in these talking head documentaries that are happy to talk about everything. It's just a matter about like no one thought to get them on camera. And so in the Jimmy Snuka one, I think it was Tonga Kid, who was just like, oh yeah, I was in the car when Nancy died that day. Oh. And everyone was like, wait, what? Like, no one knew that information.
Oh, God.
But like, maybe no one asked him, or just no one got that on record. And it's crazy that these guys finally got somebody to just get it on record. And there is a skill to those. I think it's Evan and I forget the other guy's name, but there's a skill to making somebody so comfortable where that information, and I think I know it a little bit from years of podcasting with people, is like getting someone so comfortable where you just forget there's a camera and you let out this information that everyone needs to know. And then there's a giddiness of like being the director being like, oh my God, we got that, but play it cool. Don't act like it's anything big. Just keep on going. And we'll, that'll be heaven in the edit bay, you know?
Yeah. I really enjoyed season two. I enjoyed season one, but I think season two has been really, I feel like obviously they've made bolder moves. They've told darker stories, or not necessarily darker, but you know, the big stories that everyone, I don't want to make light of stuff that was obviously intensely fucked up and terrible, but even like watching the Benoit episodes, with literally Jeff was like, oh, that's that guy that died, right? And it's like, oh, you should settle down, maybe pour a drink, and let's take 2 hours out of your life to teach you some stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing it all laid out. I think they just do such a good job of laying it out in a very simple to understand, but still affecting way that in no way makes light of anything.
The new Jack, what's crazy is it's all about these awful people. And everyone's like, did you see the New Jack episode? And then like, New Jack's on Instagram. Now he's got like new fame. And he's just like, look at me, I'm the best. But it was like, no, New Jack. It was about you trying to murder people in the ring.
I come out with the weapons, dive on shit. It's like blood and guts every goddamn night.
The line in wrestling between cooperation and physical assault is blurred.
He fucked some people's lives up.
What I'm gonna do to him, people gonna be talking about this 10 years from now.
He's stabbing his mother. Ooh.
Well, it's been 20 years and we still talking about it.
I mean, you said you watched Tiger King, right? So it's like Jeff Lowe being like, come and hang out with me and my tigers. It's like, no, motherfucker, you're the worst one. Worst one. And he is now, using that to become Instagram famous with his hot nanny. I am appalled. I will not make this a Tiger King episode. I'm sorry. But I have so much to say, even now. Very similar lives, I think.
Yeah. Was the New Jack, was that the most shocking for you, Colt? Or what was like your...
No, I knew all that. I knew all of those stories. I was just a huge New Jack fan. And I was... Earwolf had a thing called Howl, and then they moved it to Stitcher Premium. And they paid me to do this series called Wrestling Fringe, where I talk about just weird things in wrestling. Just to give you a glimpse, like I talked about Giant Gonzalez, who was a 7'8" wrestler, who's a basketball player. And I talked about Maurice Tillette, who was the French Angel, who had acromegaly like Andre the Giant, but it went sideways instead of... He's the one who has that plaster head, that the death mask, as a lot of people know. I kept on wanting to do another season, but those people at Stitcher, they got too big for their britches, and I'm not part of the team anymore. Go Maximum Fun is what I say.
That's right.
They wouldn't light another season, but the mass transit incident is one I wanted to do with, because I was always just kind of enamored with it, that it happened, that it was a thing. And, you know, they covered it back then, but, you know, now no one has really, it's been just kind of a while and people forgot about it. And there's a whole new generation who wouldn't know who I wanted to bring that attention to. But I mean, they killed anything I would ever do.
I'm just going to let that pitch settle so that Jesse definitely hears it. I'm just going to let that live and breathe.
There's room for more wrestling on Maximum Fun, Jesse. This is a subliminal
No. I'm not. Stop it.
I am. I'm saying it. I know you're not. I'm saying it. I'm saying it out loud. Put your punim away and get this show on the network, for goodness sakes. Jesse. Lindsay, is there more wrestling you want to talk about from this week? Is there anything
a bunch of it. I talked about some of it with our listeners. Some of it was good, which is like the best thing you can say. I did, pleased to say, really enjoyed AEW this week. It was really fun. There were some really fun matches. I loved Cody's promo at the opening of the show.
Complacency. That's a dirty word in wrestling. Ironically, it is the ally of the top guy, because those who are complacent and those who are content to just collect a check, they just become bodies, they become flesh to pound, and none of these men are that. All of these men could be champions. Will can be defined as a deliberate or fixed desire or intention. there's plenty of will in this tournament. Now we find out who has enough of it.
I think he just does such good work of making things feel important. And he's making this TNT champion feel so important.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for rubbing it in.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'm like, you could put me on the phone with your mother and we'll have a chat about why this is not the time. She doesn't want you to get it now. She wants to get it when she can be in the crowd and celebrate and tell everyone.
She was it. She goes, that boy was so big, that Lance Archer.
He is a big boy. He is a big boy. But yeah, I just thought that promo was excellent. I think AEW just shines at doing those moments of those sketches, of those vignettes, or whatever we want to call it. The filmed sections, they're just head and shoulders above anyone else that might be trying to do it.
Can I ask a question for everybody?
Mm. Mm.
What has been like the most cringy stuff that has come out of these empty arena things for both Impact, WWE, AEW, that's just like, that does not work, that the companies are still trying to do?
All the Gronkowski stuff was so bad.
I
really like, in comparing the shows, I love NXT. The two shows that are can't miss for me are AEW and NXT. Those are the shows I want to actively watch. I follow and keep up with everything else. I liked NXT's empty arena stuff, but what I really liked with AEW is when there are a few, like having a few people at ringside. And I know it's gotten that crowd has gotten smaller out of necessity. But early on, when you had MJF taking bets on people, like it just added everything, furthered storylines, and it made it feel intentional, which I really liked. The doing WrestleMania in an empty stadium, or an empty performance center, which they had to do. There was a lot that I liked in it, but I felt like the idea of a hope, like they could have thrown out this idea of Gronkowski being on camera talking into a microphone, because number one, I don't like the Patriots. I know he's a Buccaneer now, but also that wasn't it for me. It just felt like here's a celebrity for the sake of having a celebrity that didn't add anything. And it's just like all the 24/7 stuff, it just, none of it landed for me and felt awkward. And like, this would work if you had a stadium of people and even half of them were really into it.
Yeah. I think it's go, Danielle.
No, you go.
We're so polite. You go. I've been talking. You talk.
Well, no, for me, it was just the beginning of both days of WrestleMania, when you have Stephanie come out and she's like very serious. Like, we just want to make sure that we're bringing the best show for the fans. And she's got like, y'all, WrestleMania was scheduled and you're doing WrestleMania and that's awesome. But I think anything right now where it's like in these trying times, like I'm not. Even commercials that are like, you know, Toyota during these trying times, it's like, shut up. Like, I'm not buying a car right now. I'm in the house. So I guess for me, that's been some of the most cringy stuff, where it's like, in these trying times, we just want to make sure that we're still providing you with entertainment, because that's what the fans deserve. And it's like, just do the show. I don't need a PSA before two nights of WrestleMania.
Also, we know they don't care about trying times. It's just about their quota.
Yeah.
They're trying to make money.
Yeah. In these trying times, when we're trying not to be in breach of contract to Fox, please enjoy this empty arena show. It's like, let's just
be honest.
In these
trying times where we fired 150 of our employees.
Yep.
Yeah. For me, apart from all of that, which is very accurate and true, and also the refusal to acknowledge any of it and just be like, unprecedented times, trying times, current situation. Fuck off. We all know. There is not a human alive who thinks this is just a blip. I don't know. To me, it works when the people in the ring make it work. And we have talked about this a couple of times, about how there are certain wrestlers who play to the back of the room and play very big. And they tend to be the bigger wrestlers, and they're the people who haven't spent a ton of time on the indies, and they don't know how to connect in a more intimate way. And when you have wrestlers who are used to being in a smaller room, used to working, especially wrestlers who have worked together a ton, and they have that chemistry anyway, they can do anything. They can make it sing. It's like, they don't need anyone to externally validate their performance, as opposed to the bigger guys who are just going to stand there and go, rah! And you're like, oh, no one heard that or gave a shit. So maybe
Lindsay, I, as a wrestler, play to the back of the room, but I do it in a comic sense where all my stuff bombs to the crowd and I'm just trying to make the wrestlers laugh. So
yeah, there you go. But that's
Yeah, I immediately took it in the comedy, because when you're talking about stand-up and comedy and stuff, you say play to the back of the room. That just means that you're playing to, like, the other people that you're working with, because you know that the audience doesn't care. Also, right. Entrances can be real hard right now for me.
Yes, wait.
And I know that, like, that's what people have to do, and but it's also like, this does not work without cheers.
Danielle, that's something I've had a problem with, so maybe you can teach me. I've done my entrance, and I just feel real weird about it, and I kind of don't know what to do. Can you help me?
See, I don't know either, because the whole point of the entrance is, again, it's like you're hyping up the crowd, like, hey, I'm here, like, you know, the music hits, the crowd goes wild, and they start cheering, and you know, if you've got chance, they do chance, and you come out, and, like, you're spreading your energy, like, throughout the whole audience, and so it does feel a little like... And I don't want people to give up, because that also would feel like weird for them, because I know it's also part of the entrance is it also gets you hype. But it is a little like, who gave this kid so much caffeine? We're all just kind of hanging out.
Right.
But did you love it when Bailey and Sasha did it? Because then it's a heel move. And I love that they're pretending to try and get a response out of a crowd that isn't there. Like, I thought Bailey and Sasha did such a good job of that when they were trying to talk to an invisible crowd, because they knew their own crowd wasn't there. It was like multi-layered of bullshit and snarkiness. But yeah, when it's just people who just come out and go, yay, look, it's me, you're like, oh, there's nobody there though.
It's just like with comedy, because, like, I've done a couple of, like, weird Zoom stand-up shows, and they work, but it's like you have to acknowledge what's happening right now, because that's kind of the way that stand-up works. And I feel like that's also the way that wrestling works, but obviously, like, not everyone's got the skill set or the desire to even, like, kind of do a wink at the fact that it's like, hey, there's really no one here. So I don't know what the solve for that is, because I have no back and therefore do not wrestle. So
I have a pitch.
Okay.
Which is...
Okay, Hal, yes.
Okay, great. Yeah. I was nervous. I didn't think I was going to get called on. So I love the bit of trying to start a chant and the crowd's not there. So this would be over several entrances to have it... Like to play it big at first and then realize there's no crowd. And then slowly, like coming out with the hope that maybe somebody is out there each time until eventually it's just... You're just Charlie Brown in the Christmas special... walking down to the ring.
So that might not work in the moment, but the gif that I'm gonna have,
that's it.
And that's what we all know wrestling is just, I'm wrestling for gifs here.
You're wrestling for gifs.
Yeah.
Yeah, something with that, something where the toll of not having the crowd there starts to wear on you,
and then a little bubble of my mom pops up going, come on, Colt, we believe in you. I'm you cheering can do for it. You
Tuck your punim and get to work.
Hey, Colt, I have a question.
Who's that? Who's speaking?
I'm sorry, we muted him.
Have you, like, with all the comedians and the improv groups kind of holding shows over Zoom, has there been any discussion about wrestlers having matches over Zoom where an audience of people would just on a computer?
No.
Not even amongst yourself in your head?
You know that the NPR Tiny Desk series?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to do NPR Tiny Wrestling Desk series, where I wrestle with somebody on just a little desk and a green screen with the NPR thing behind us. So maybe that'll
be the time. Now's the time.
Yeah.
Let that happen, please. I had a question about talking punims, because, like, I don't know if you've noticed, but we've noticed. There's been less talking of that recently. It seems
it is out of control.
Right. I just feel like it's time to shine lately, and there's been much less talking, much more visible peen. And has that been a conversation in the
Where are the dance belts is what we're asking. Where are the dance belts?
This is a conversation that we have often. It's something that the best friends talk about a lot.
It's something that we talk about a lot. So this makes me very happy.
Yeah. Yes. So as a wrestler, I always want it to look like I have no peen. I'm a Ken doll. It's not even there. It's been chopped off. People don't even think about it, right?
That's how we were all raised.
So you want... I'm always going a down tuck into a Ken doll... Mm-hmm. bulge. And unlike, you know, we always talk about the two ones that I remember, and I'm sorry that now this conversation has gone to this, but Lindsay has brought it up.
Oh, no, this is our podcast.
Just embrace it. Lean in.
Is Mr. Perfect and Jimmy Snuka always had the point?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Perfect SummerSlam 91 was the first time as a small child I was like, what the fuck is this? And I fully remember my 16-year-old brother being like, get her out of the room, get her out of the room, get her out of the room. Because he fully had a semi at the end of the match in the interview. And it's like, you just lost the belt and you're doing your post-match interview with a chub. And I am 11 and going like, I have questions. And now look where we are. Now at 39, asking that question of a professional wrestler. It's valid.
It's the equivalent of no bra, of like you can kind of see it through and you're a little turned on, but you know you shouldn't
There's
be doing...
There's a reason Rachel didn't wear a bra for the first four seasons of Friends, you know? And it's the same question.
Yes. So I didn't know that this is becoming a new thing. I mean, we all know Finn Balor, what he's doing, but I feel he does that on purpose.
He's leading the charge. He's leading the charge.
He knows.
But for me, I'm always a Tucker. I don't want it seen. I don't want people to think of me sexually at all. But that's just me. So I'll be on the lookout now for this new generation.
I just want to know if it's a conversation that's been had or if it's just a happenstance, a happy happenstance.
I point it out all the time to anybody in the locker room. I'm like, oh, we're going to the left today. That's kind of the statement I've made.
We may need to get you in weekly to review the visible penises that we have enjoyed
visible
in the
penis
week's wrestling. Yeah.
And you mentioned the best friend. Like, are they like, we do it on I'm doing it on purpose because have you ever been like, why wouldn't you tuck it? It just seems like from a safety perspective. Like, isn't
some
it safer
just,
too?
Well, so the theory is always Bret Hart had it best. Mm-hmm. And this is not this is the best friend's theory, because he had so many layers that the layers build it up. You know, he had the singlet, he had the trunks, he had the under trunks. You got to imagine he had a thong on. So that's at least four layers. There could be more. We don't know. He didn't write about it in his book, which were, you know, he wrote about everything in this book. So,
oh, that's the
he's
next
one. Saving
book.
It for the next one. There we go.
Right. So, yes, like we're all conscious of it. A lot of us, the best friends, myself, and we don't want anything showing. But so, like I said, some people just don't care. It's not something they think about. And I it's mind-blowing to me, but some people
I think it is something they think about.
I think that they want
it
trending. I think that they want the fact that their chub is showing trending.
Well, did you guys talk about wrestling, hashtag Wrestling After Dark on this podcast?
Well, we didn't talk about it on the podcast, but Danielle and I have had some conversations.
Some side convos.
We've been real busy the last couple of weeks on this podcast, and unfortunately we haven't had time. But it is a conversation that has been occurring.
That was a hashtag, and then everyone just started getting naked on Twitter at 1 a.m. in the morning and just thought that it wouldn't be there the next day, and it was.
Yeah, it turns out when you put a picture of yourself on Twitter, people save it even if you delete it.
Right.
You just save the internet. Just the internet in general.
It's going to get saved.
Yeah. So maybe that is the Snapchat generation of wrestlers. And, I'm an AIM generation. So,
well, and it's also I don't think it started with Faye Jackson's gray sweatpants challenge. But I did. There was a lot of dick print on the timeline of people just being like, this is what I would have brought to the gray sweatpants challenge. So, you know.
It was very good of
her
to offer that out there. I mean, I just feel like if we had had the gray sweatpants challenge, maybe it would have, for want of a better term, aired all of this out and everyone would have had their dick print chance and then it would have been over. But since it was stifled, there's a lot of people with a lot of frustrated dick prints right now.
Yeah, sometimes I wonder what my carbon dick print will be.
Yeah, you do have to think about the planet.
You do. Yeah.
We should get on to Al Gore about that. I feel like he would definitely have some strong feelings.
He gets on a scissor lift and just points at dick outlines. This one here is too big. A tree's gonna die.
Is that anyway. Andre the Giant?
Yeah, that's right. Anybody want a peanut?
It's terrible. We haven't even given you a chance to do JR this week. I feel dreadful about the whole thing.
I know.
And we're talking about dicks. I mean, it just feels wrong.
Colt, can we talk about the Blue Chew ads in the middle of commentary? It's a problem. He might as well just have a dick bulge, because that's all he talks about. It feels like I can't. Once he says it, he's like, all right, let me get one of those Blue Chews. And then I lose. I don't know what's happening. I enter like a fugue state.
I say good for him. He's entered the grandpa state of life where he just doesn't care.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you're on national television. Like, I, you know, as much like I like to just kind of like be free and like I have a big censorship in my head. And I know, like, I know not even to promote my own cultmerch.com wink. You know, on when I was doing commentary or even on YouTube show, like, so, you know, I think to myself, like, now's not the time to promote your own stuff. You know, now's the time to promote like AEW and talk about it. And I have that inner monologue in my head, but it's kind of cool that he just doesn't. And he couldn't care less. He doesn't censor himself, whatever. And no one's there to be like, Jim, stop. You know, that's almost the cooler point is like, back, you know, there would be a Vince McMahon. He's been like, you can't talk about Blue Chew. And now everyone's just like, yeah, whatever you want to talk about, go for it.
Was that Andre the Giant, by the way?
Yes, thank you.
My favorite, I love JR, the early days of his podcast where he did not have a sponsorship with Sonic, but would plug them in the hopes that they would pay him later.
Yeah, that was
every
great.
Episode, he'd be like, I passed a Sonic on the way here and I had a diet, a peach iced tea diet. And they're not sponsored, but they sure should be. Like the Sonic executives were like, you know, I was listening to the JR podcast, yeah. And I can't believe we're not putting money into that.
See, he and now that, we get
he
to hear
that's
about
how it worked.
Yeah. Yeah, now we get to hear about how hard his dick is. So
it's so hard a cat can scratch it. Yeah. That's what I've learned. That's what I've learned from the JR podcast.
Oh God!
This sounds like a short. What is it called? A short improv game. A short form improv game.
Yeah.
How hard is JR's dick?
Let's all form a line, and we'll take you. Just step up when you have the idea. We'll step up and we'll say it.
That's something he said. It's so, as someone who owns cats, it was very upsetting the fact that anyone could ever, how he would know that his dick was so hard a cat could scratch it. I'm like, that's not a quantification of hardness that I'm comfortable knowing about, but that's just because I own cats. I'm sorry I brought the podcast to this place, but I'm not really.
Why?
So
this is where we live. Be in the muck with me, Lindsay.
This is where
sorry,
we live.
As a wise man once said, don't think twice. Or don't think. I don't know.
So before we wrap this segment up, I want to ask, what is the biggest thing you miss outside of wrestling from pre-quarantine life? Is there some place you want to go or something that you've realized that you've taken for granted? Or,
well, this isn't a comedy answer, but the gym.
Yeah. Mm.
And what I've realized about myself is I've never wanted to work out. I don't enjoy working out, but I know I have to for my job. And I'm good about going to the gym and doing the work, but like, I'm not good about just getting on the floor and doing push-ups. I refuse to do it for some reason. And so, like, you know, it's kind of not that my body's withered away, but I've definitely noticed a change and it kind of makes me a little sad. And I wasn't, you know, some of these wrestlers have gyms in their garage and like I had to go on Craigslist and buy one singular dumbbell for $90. And I'm like, I'm not spending any more than that. And so my sad home gym is very sad. And I just wish I could go back and work out.
Yeah. Well, if you have any thoughts on home workouts, you can suggest them on Facebook. You can do it on Twitter, Instagram, and Discord via the links in our show notes. Don't post it on Discord, please.
And also know that I just want to do it from my couch. So if there's any couch exercises.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. If you know couch exercises, share it. You can find all the links in our show notes. Do it there. We'll be back after this with some things from the wrestling world that you should know about. This is Tights and Fights.
Hey, podcast fan, we have a quick favor to ask. We'd like to get a better idea of who you are and what you care about. So if you have a couple moments to spare, go to MaximumFun.org/ad survey. There, we've got a short anonymous survey that won't take any more than 10 minutes to fill out. Plus, if you finish it, you'll get a 10% discount on our merch at the MaxFun store. MaxFun shows have always relied on support from our members and always will. The survey will help keep the few ads we do run relevant and interesting for you. Again, that's MaximumFun.org/ad survey, all one word. And thanks for your help.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Loveland, and I'm joined today by
Danielle Radford
and
Lindsay Gelk
and
Colt Quarantine Cabana.
This week, we want to end the show by sharing some of the joy of wrestling with you. This is the three count. Colt, what would you like to put over?
Well, I know you told me just one, but I brought one for each platform.
Oh.
Nice.
Is that
okay?
We
routinely have 17 each, so yes. Shoot.
Okay.
Yes.
I have Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and a podcast.
Oh.
I do not have TikTok because no wrestlers besides me know how to use TikTok correctly. So feel free to go to my TikTok at Colt Cabana. But which one do you guys want to hear first? It's up to you.
Do it at random, whatever. Okay. however you have it written.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Podcast, my friends Marty DeRosa and Sarah Shockey, who I talked about Sarah before. She does she's a great improviser out of Chicago. They have a very fun, silly podcast. They're two lovers, two friends who love wrestling. And they kind of do characters. It's almost like Comedy Bang Bang meets a wrestling chat show. So they go in and out of characters and kind of talk about the wrestling week, and they're really fun, and it's not too much like snarkiness about like what people should and shouldn't have done. It's much like yourselves, very just a fun comedy wrestling podcast. YouTube, my two friends, Matt Cardona and Brian Myers, Zack Ryder and Kurt Hawkins, just got fired from the WWE. Mm-hmm. They have put together almost their own little empire around wrestling figures. And so it's called the Major Wrestling Figure Podcast, and it's a regular podcast, but it's also a YouTube channel, and I just did their live show. And I love anything that the people doing it are totally dedicated to and have a love for. And these two nerds love wrestling figures more than anybody alive. And it's so crazy. Also, how much money Zack Ryder has spent on figures alone. It's over $1 million, I'm pretty sure, at this point.
Wow.
And then Twitter, there's a Twitter handle called at Wrestling Arcade. I don't know if you guys have ever seen this one.
No.
Where this fan, he takes...
Oh, yeah. I follow them. Yeah.
Yeah. He takes old moments in wrestling history and he makes them into like Nintendo arcade scenes. And also when he doesn't do the scenes, he also has like a really fun, nostalgic Twitter account, and I really enjoy it. And then Instagram, there's a handle called Ham and Eggers, which is something I think Bobby Heenan or Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan used to talk about, which a Ham and Eggers is kind of like the enhancement wrestler. And so all it is just picture of the, you know, the scrubs of the matches over the years. Hmm. And it's just fun to see all the old names. And I've been up there, you know, when I've been losing in WWE, but just Ham and Eggers on Instagram for all your wrestling scrubs of the 70s, 80s, 90s and today.
Awesome. Love it. Danielle, what you got?
Just still continuing from last week with the Drake Maverick love, doing real good work. Obviously, he did a great job last week of just being really honest and turning that into a way to sell himself and sell the match, which was amazing. Did a great showing this week. I did think it was a little weird for the official NXT Twitter to be like, where does Drake Maverick go from here? I don't know. Y'all fired him. So I don't know how much of this is real and how much of it is not. But either way, I want to continue shining some, because he did some great work. And I know that it's going to pay off for him, because anyone who doesn't try to scoop him up after this is real silly, especially just after that tweet. It was like, is this real? Is it not real? I don't know. I kind of hope it is not real at this point, if NXT official Twitter is going to be like, well, what's next for him? I don't know. Why don't you give him a job? You can give him his job back, probably. So,
definitely. Yeah. Not probably. They have the money.
Yeah, you have the money. You have all of the money. So, yeah, that's what I'm putting over.
All right, Lindsay.
I had like 7 things, because there's been loads of good things, but I mostly wanted to put over Orange Crush, which I'm sure you guys have probably come across already, but it is a journal of art and wrestling made by this art guy in New York, and it has Joey Janela on the front cover. It's a basically a very fancy independent magazine that's all about the melding of the worlds of art and wrestling, and massive, one of those things where a ton of people message me. I'm like, oh my God, have you heard of this? Because it's the people that think it's dumb that I like wrestling, but then suddenly saw a cool version of it. And they were like, oh my God, it turns out it might be cool. And I'm like, I know, right? I haven't got it yet. I haven't read it yet, but it looks really interesting. I am curious to see it. It's always fun to see someone doing something new in the space. And that was what I was going to put over. Then I saw Will Ospreay tweet that he got drunk watching Camp Rock and trying to do the splits. And I haven't always been his biggest fan, but I'm like, he got drunk watching Camp Rock trying to do the splits. And I enjoyed that. Thank you for putting that out there for people to enjoy. And then I also, because I cannot stop, I have to thank all the wrestlers on Twitter who are so bored that they are replying to people's tweets, including my two new best friends, The Rock, and also Drew McIntyre, who is now fully leaning into the idea that his new t-shirt looks like a romance novel cover. And I tweeted at him to say that I would hook him up with that romance novel if he needed it. And he replied to it and said, your shout, WWE shop. So we're now just waiting for WWE shop to say if they're going to commission me to write a Drew McIntyre romance novel, which just seems like a thing we should do.
Lindsay, can you please do it in his voice, what he said to you?
Oh no, yeah. I can't. My uncle's Scottish and I'd be murdered.
And yes, Hal, that was Andre the Giant.
I was making sure. I just wanted to be sure.
But yeah, strangely enough, WWE, because, you know, we all know they're real short on money right now, have not reached out to me to ask me to write this novel. But I just think it's something that clearly should happen. So if you want that, let me know.
I'm going to put over a fun wrestling Twitter account, which is the Subway WWE Experience. That's WWE Subway is the handle. And basically, they take all the things you experience at a Subway and then explain it with a WWE GIF. And it's
I follow that one, and yeah, I love it.
It's really funny. Check it out. Well, that does it for this episode of Tights and Fights. This week, your hosts were Colt Cabana, Danielle Radford, and Lindsay Kelk, along with me, Hal Loveland. Colt, please, number one, thank you for coming back on the show.
Of course.
And please plug it. Give everybody the plugs. Tell them where they should be going and et cetera.
Oh, this is a long list. But Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Colt Cabana. I have been putting a lot of stuff up on my Patreon. Patreon.com/Colt Cabana. I put in a lot of stuff up, but I kind of put previews on all my socials for it. And then, so I do have a lot of stuff I'm putting on my YouTube. I've been doing these Instagram lives and then collecting them all and chopping them up and putting the best parts of me talking to kids and then making little kids talk to their parents who don't know who I am. That's really fun for me. I have a merch store, which has everything but my t-shirts, coltmerch.com. My t-shirts are prowrestlingtees.com. And I do have a podcast, The Art of Wrestling, where I sit down and talk to people in the world of wrestling for years. I did that for 8 years. I stopped and started doing a documentary style series, and now I'm back to the talks in season form. And my last season had the stars like Wade Barrett, Damian Sandow, and the weirdo himself, Will Ospreay. So please find that where you find podcasts, and thank you very much.
Awesome. Danielle, anything you want to plug?
As per usual, keep watching Honest Trailers. And then, yeah, I know you guys are asking about Great Debate Stuff, which is the show, the sci-fi show. When I get details, you will get details. And then I will, yeah, let you guys know when that happens. Yay, I wrote TV.
That sounds like a good song. Like, when I get details, you get details.
That is my entrance music.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, you're getting rid of with the sickness?
Well, no, you still got to put a ooh, wah, ah, ah, like right before it is the trick.
Lindsay?
Because I'm down with the details.
I books. I've written books that aren't romance novels starring Drew McIntyre. Because, I mean, come on. Yeah, I'd like more than four people to read them. But I've written books, and you can order them or get them from your library or get them on like Kindle Unlimited if you aren't in a position to be buying books right now. But I have a bunch of books. Please read them and don't tell me if you don't like them. But enjoy.
All right, we got this with Mark and Hal. You can hear all three of my co-hosts on episodes of their very own helping us decide stuff. That is still going strong, and we're doing live streams, so follow We Got This tweets to find out what that's happening. Good Morning Night Vale still going as well, and the Thrilling Adventure Hour is back doing remote shows. We have one the same day this podcast is released at 2 p.m. Pacific time, We've got all the Work Juice players, plus Bob Odenkirk and Ray Seahorn, and John Ross Bowie and Cedric Yarborough are going to be on that. If you can't make the live show, that is okay. We will make the video available later, and all proceeds go to food banks in cities like Chicago, LA, New York, Seattle, New Orleans, Detroit, and more. So check that out at ThrillingADV on Twitter. Folks, I have bad news. Our producer, Julian Burrell, has lost his Mario Kart undefeated streak. So congratulations to Roosevelt for the W. What, did he figure out how you were hacking your Nintendo Switch? How you cheated to win all those games?
Roosevelt, it was an honor. You got screwed out of a couple of races that I won, so I was very happy that you got to take a Grand Prix. So I hope you had a lot of fun, because I certainly did as well.
Finally.
What is this, 1834? Roosevelt always winning? That was my best Andy Kindler impression.
Very great.
Senior producer of Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. We're doing this now, a Swisher thing. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music, so we're putting him over for that. Keep up with us all week long on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and also Discord. Links to all of those are in our show notes. And if you love what we do, remember to hit those 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and share us with all your friends. Finally, thank you so much to the Maximum Fun member who have a portion of their monthly recurring contribution. Keep the lights on while we're doing this podcast. Even though we're not in the studio, we're keeping it coming because of you. And if you want to wear Tights and Fights on your body, you can. We have a t-shirt. You can make that happen. Nobody will ask you about it because you're in your home, but hey, it's a good conversation to have with a plant. We'll be back next week for even more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.